here's a story from The World.
If you spent any time in the last several months daydreaming about traveling to a distant land for fun, you've probably also spent some time cringing at the risks and hassle involved. Three members of our newsroom have just cleared those COVID travel hurdles and are here to dish about it. Lydia Amanalidou, Jorge Valencia, and Ariel Osaran all recently flew from the United States to relocate for reporting assignments. Lydia's in Athens, Ariel is in Tel Aviv, and Jorge is in Mexico City now. Lydia, start us off. How is planning your international travel different than it might have been pre-COVID?
Hey, Carol. So for me, one of the things I had to think about was, because there are no direct flights from Boston to Greece, was where my layover was going to be, because there are restrictions right now on what flights can come in to Greece from different countries. The other thing that was a little different than usual was 48 hours before traveling, I had to fill out these forms that are now required by the Greek government for every traveler, regardless of where they're coming from. So I had to give them some biographical information and some, you know, information about where I was coming from, where I would be staying once I entered the country. And using that information, they generated, you know, a unique QR code for me that they eventually scanned once I got into the country.
Ariel, how about you?
Hey, Carol. So I actually had my ticket months in advance. And then when this whole COVID crisis came and I saw that flights were stopping, I was getting a little worried. And I saw that my airline was canceling flights. And surprise, surprise, 10 days before it was canceled. But my airline did end up booking me a flight on another airline, which was United.
Jorge, you were headed to Mexico City. What was the planning like for that?
Hey, everybody. Actually, I think it was a lot easier than Lydia and Ariel, because the Mexican and the U.S. governments never really placed any restrictions on flights between the two countries. So it's just a matter of booking the flight and making sure I had a really good mask. It was difficult for me because I have a pet who I have a dog. Her name is Chuleta, which in Spanish that means pork chop. And she couldn't travel in a kennel as luggage because I couldn't find a single airline that is doing that right now between the two countries. So I spoke with a counselor in Massachusetts, and she gave me a letter certifying that a Chuleta during the pandemic has become an emotional support animal for me. And I sent that along with veterinarian records to American Airlines, which is the airline that I took ahead of time.
So your travel's booked, and in Jorge's case, you have your dog registered. Then each of you gets to the airport, and what happened there? Let's start with you, Ariel.
So I was actually pretty impressed arriving at Logan Airport in Boston. There was a lot of social distancing, and people were wearing masks, and, you know, benches had banners on them trying to limit seating. I was actually really impressed. And then I got onto my flight to Newark, and the flight itself was packed, shoulder to shoulder, not one empty seat. So it was surprising that in the airport there was so strict distancing measures, but on the flight itself, all the guidelines and precautions were pretty much thrown out the window.
What about you, Lydia? What happened at the airport?
Yeah, Ariel, I actually had some of the same experiences and thoughts that you did. My first flight to Frankfurt was, unlike yours, pretty much empty. I mean, everyone kind of had their own row to themselves. And there were announcements about, you know, COVID-related measures that we kept hearing on the flight.
We ask you to wear a face mask that covers your mouth and nose at all times during your stay on board. This measure provides additional protection for all of us on board.
So that was my first flight, but on my second flight from Frankfurt to Athens, it was actually completely packed. I was on a window seat and there were, you know, two people just inches away from me sitting next to me. And so that felt, even though everyone had to have a mask on, I had, again, my face shield on, it felt really, really hard to actually social distance. It was impossible.
So it's interesting. There's clearly differences between what's happening on the ground and what happens once you get in the air and on the plane. And I'm wondering what happened once you landed. Jorge, how about you?
When we got off the plane, there was somebody checking the temperature for every single passenger who's coming off the plane.
Buenas tardes.
Adelante, buenas tardes.
Gracias. ¿Temperatura?
Gracias.
Then when we were standing in line, the immigration official in the line that I was in yelled at the guy in front of me because he wasn't standing in the marker that he was supposed to be standing in. So I was definitely sweating at that moment. Then they allowed us to enter in the country, but then the moment of truth came, because that's when I had to go to a desk that the Secretary of Agriculture has, and I spoke to an official there.
Perfecto.
Chuleta.
And it was actually pretty easy. He just took Chuleta's veterinarian documents. He had me sign a document. he just kind of like took a glance at her, and that was it, and we were here.
So she doesn't have to be quarantined or anything?
She doesn't. I do, but no. I think she's okay with the COVID. She is, at least.
Lydia, how about you?
So when I landed in Athens, we were in a line and I got selected to be tested for COVID. So a nurse, you know, pulled me aside, told me to please take a seat. She scanned my QR code. I asked her if I was getting tested because I was coming from the U.S. and she told me that, you know, no, we're randomly testing people.
Lydia, did you feel safe flying?
Not really, Carol. I did appreciate some of the measures I saw, but ultimately, no, I didn't really feel safe given how packed the flight itself was.
Jorge, now that you've reached your destination and are settled in, when you look back on traveling there during a pandemic, what strikes you as significant?
Well, for my purposes, the most significant thing is realizing how important my dog has become to me. I adopted her 2 years ago, but during the pandemic, she has become very important to me. And for the sake of anybody else who wants to travel internationally with her pet, I also spoke with Jenny Redmond. She's sort of a pet travel agent with PetsFly.com based in Phoenix. And she says that traveling with your pet has become, on average, much more difficult. It just depends on which country you're going to.
So, for example, to get a pet to Europe is not hard. It's pretty much the same as what a year ago. But to get a pet to South America is almost impossible.
What Redmond recommends is if you need to travel with your pet because you're relocating, is start planning at least 3 months ahead before your flight. So yeah, I'd say plan early and plan often.
Ariel, your thoughts on traveling during a pandemic. What strikes you as significant?
So what really struck me was when I first arrived at Logan and I handed the airline rep my U.S. passport, she said, "What are you giving me that for?" And I was like, "What do you mean? You asked me for my passport." And she said, "No, don't you know? A U.S. passport is worthless these days." And that really took me aback, you know, from the days that the U.S. passport could get you pretty much in any country in the world. Now she's saying that it's worthless. That really struck me.
The World's Ariel Osoron in Tel Aviv, Jorge Valencia in Mexico City, and Lydia Amanolidou in Athens. I want to thank all three of you for speaking with us.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks.
Living vicariously through our reporting team. Listen for their stories soon from Athens, Mexico City, and Tel Aviv.